that is higher than the tree. I could have all the gifts I want and never ask, please. I could fly to Paris, oh, that's at my beck and call. Why do I go through life with nothing at all? But when I dream I dream of you, maybe someday you will come true.
John McEwen on the Americana Music Show, and today I have the extreme pleasure of visiting with Crystal Gale. Hi, Crystal.
Hi. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. Thanks for being on the show. I've had a great time. Oh, wait a minute. There's more to talk about.
Just a little.
A lot of people, with respect, because I know your career, and I know I'm hoping to find out some new things, but a lot of people wonder, where did Crystal Gale come from? And I know some of this is basic information, but where did you come from? I mean, in your soul of singing, what got you started? When did Crystal Gale go, I want to sing?
Well, let's start back. My mother said I could sing before I could walk, so music is in my soul. And yeah, I grew up singing anything and everything, and in the school choirs and the bands around. I'd sing country on the weekends. I'd go out and play with the bands that were in school.
What age was that when you say school?
Of course, I from growing up in school, we had the music programs all the time. So I'd sing in all the functions, even in grade school. And then junior high, and we had choirs there. And high school is when I did more of the swing groups.
Did you do any of the typical high school plays like West Side Story?
Or? Oh, I did plays. But I was shy, I did a few. you had to hug someone, you're like, oh no.
Oh, you were selective even then. I guess what I'm after is, I find with talking to John Oates and various people, there's at some point in time where you found yourself on stage, it might have been 9 or 12 years old or 15, and you went, this is what I want to do. Was there a time you remember when it was like, not just, oh, I'm singing because I like to sing?
Looking, you know, it's hard to say because, you know, I was on stage doing the different things, and it was junior high, definitely. I'd do the talent contests, and of course, you know, looking back, you know, with my sister in the business, I'm sure we're going to get into that.
I'm talking, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, that, I could see the business and thinking, oh, I want to be a singer, and I'm sure that, or, you know, country music singer. Because my sister was there, so.
And for those that don't know, Loretta Lynn is Crystal's older sister by how many years?
19.
Now, that implies that she might have left home by the time you were 5?
Actually, I wasn't born when she left home.
She must have not liked you at all if you weren't even born and she left. Oh, wait.
Well, she got married around 15.
That's right.
And I remember Mom didn't want her to get married, but Dad signed the paper. So she was allowed to get married. And, you know, she was gone and had, she didn't have, I'm trying to think when her first child was born. I can't remember, but I came along.
She was 16 and a half, I think, or somewhere 17 was the first one.
When her first kid, and well, you know, it's so hard to.
But the point I was curious about is, so by the time you're 8, she's 25 and having some success. Did that drive you? Did that intimidate you? Is another question.
No, I loved it. You know, at that time, country music was not a type of music that people would admit that they liked. When I was growing up, it was just, I always called them country music fan lovers because they would love to listen to it, but they wouldn't admit it. So, yeah, but I was, you know, very vocal. I mean, I loved my sister's music and her singing and all the people around it.
Did she sing about a place that you wanted to go back to yourself? Because a lot of Loretta's music was Butcher Holler based and Kentucky based, but you were in Indianapolis by that time.
Well, actually, the mine started closing. That's why we moved to Indiana.
Not the mine, the mine.
The mine. Yeah, the,
no, I know you said that.
Number 9 mine.
So the people understand. Was it coal mine?
It's a coal mine, mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah, the coal mines were closing, and Dad went to look for work. He couldn't find it, went back home. Mom set out, and she found work in Wabash, Indiana, working at a restaurant. She got some money saved up, she got a place to live and sent for us. And I was about between 3 and 4 years of age.
And you went?
Yeah, we all went.
I was going to say, it's a big decision for a 4-year-old.
I probably didn't want to go, you know. You know, being, I took after Dad, he was shy.
Uh-huh. When do you feel, did the music help you bridge the shyness, or have you yet?
In a lot of ways, I've come out of my shell, and some people would say I'm still in it. But I remember starting out and just standing there and singing, and I didn't want to talk in between songs.
Mm-hmm.
I was too afraid, but I could sing. And so a lot of my shows were, you know, I'd say the title of the song or whatever and go into it. But then later, as I was getting used to it, then I would.
Now, later, you mean after 20 years old, after 25?
Maybe after, you know, like a couple years ago. No,
no. No, I can understand
with,
that.
With the success, I'm sure, of songs, you know, it helped. Even though when people started listening to my music, you know, I worked a lot of clubs, and mm-hmm. everybody would dance. You know, you're out there doing your show, and then they would start to sit down. And that scared me.
When you sang?
Yeah. I'm thinking, they're sitting. I was used to dance.
I'm going to get fired. They're sitting. Yeah.
And that's when I realized people were actually hearing my records on radio.
Oh, wow. Do you remember hearing the first one yourself?
Oh, yeah. You know,
where were you?
In the car driving down the, I think we were heading to Tennessee and from Indiana, and hearing it on the radio. And it's a great feeling, you know. It's probably better than finding that, having that first number one.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, and it's like, wow, that's me.
It's working. Was it Brown Eyes or was it before?
No, that? It was a song called I Cried the Blue Right Out of My Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that song was on Decca Records.
How did you find it?
Well, that was one of Loretta's songs. And, you know, she was very... into my first recording, she was there, and she helped me pick songs, and she wrote some, went in and did that, and she gave me actually the first advice that was the best advice, and that was to quit singing her songs and and to not record anything that she would ever record, because
uh-huh.
she said, we have one Loretta Lynn, we don't need another.
Well, that's good advice, because the direction you went was able to not that you need to be justified, but justifiably take you in the Hoagy Carmichael songbook.
I love that.
And music of a whole different style and era.
Well, you know, I grew up singing it all. And I was, like I said, within the swing groups, the choirs, Ray Conniff singers, I mean, they were great. I loved listening to them. And we'd do songs of theirs all the time, their arrangements. And it was just... A great background. I was very lucky to have a wonderful music teacher in high school, Mr. Steiner. And, you know, he helped pave the way for a lot of the things that I would do.
Some people learn naturally, and Vassar Clements, you knew him, you
mm-hmm.
crossed paths with him, fiddle player on the Circle B Unbroken album. He could play things even he couldn't play. And I didn't know that until I said, Vassar, how did you just play what we recorded? Listen to it. And he goes, well, I don't reckon how I did that. And he meant it.
I know.
He played naturally. Elvis Presley naturally said, dogga. You ain't nothing but a hound, a dogga. Because he knew that the end of the word dog, when you speak it, dogga,
yeah.
knew that was there. You do the same. You have a beautiful way of singing the word love and getting the va. Right out after the beat of whatever. You're not in doubt. I sometimes equate you to a female Frank Sinatra in your approach to elocution. You know what every word is in the song that you're singing. Is there a point in time where you paid attention to that? Or did it just happen?
I think probably a little of both, in the sense that I always would hate to listen to songs that I couldn't understand the words. You know, I wanted to know what they said. You know, I loved the song, but it's like, what was that word? You know, what are they saying? And I think that would make me want to do my words a little bit plainer.
Make sure.
Yeah, make sure they would understand. But, you know, it was just me too. But I listen back to some of my older things, and I have a little more twang in there than I would have now, and I think that's just natural. But I've got Kentucky background, that dialect. I have Indiana, and then I moved to Tennessee, and I'd have that. And when I worked with Alan Reynolds,
mm-hmm.
now he's probably one
that, was after
that helped
the,
me
after the Decca years.
After the Decca years,
was that with United Artists?
United Artists.
Yep.
And did
he bring you Don't It Make Your Brown Eyes?
Yes,
Blue?
He brought.
That's
me.
Kind of like the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. People say, hey, I got this great song about a dead dog. It's kind of like the last one.
Yeah, we had a lot of eyes.
So was that a difficulty when he brought you that? You said, do I have to do another Eyes song?
No, I loved it. I mean, that particular song, it's a song that is so well written.
Mm-hmm.
Says so much and not this long and drawn out. I mean, the emotion's there. It's in the words. And I don't get tired of singing it. And I get asked that question, do you get tired of singing that song? But I don't, because it was so well written.
Well, that song is an iconic song to me of an era of country music when there were, I believe, more intelligent lyrics. There I am giving an opinion of current. I don't know. Let's just say that was a good time for lyrics that really cut deeper than some do. And it set a real mark for the quality of Crystal Gayle's music, who I'm sitting with right now on the Americana Music Show, a singer I've always admired that I don't think anybody could say they remember you singing a bad note. And on Brown Eyes Blue, you not only brought across the fact that you were going to be listening, it's hard for me to kind of put together, but I want to see what she's going to sing next, too. It wasn't a one-time, that's a good singer, let's move on. Brown Eyes Blue is a great delivery of a song that I think people listen to over and over.
You know, that was a first take. I mean, that was a live take. I didn't re-sing it.
Live with the band.
That was a live with the band. That was the first take when they turned the machine on.
How often do you do that?
You know, I like doing that.
Kenny Rogers does that.
I've had other song, a lot of songs on my albums would be live takes, even when I did the Holy Carmichael.
We
just had to fix a few pops, a couple little things where, because that was live with orchestra. So, you know, we wanted that to be.
Crystal's referring to the old phrase, how long does it take to record a hit record? Well, it should take about 3 minutes. And now it's for like 3.5 months.
No, it can take a while.
But that's using the studio as part of the tools and part of the art. And there's validity in that. But what I like about what you do is it can be that first take thing. I've heard from Randy Owen. He would sing those Alabama songs in one take. Kenny Rogers, if he had to do two takes, he might not do the song. You think, well, I guess I don't know it.
That's right.
And move on to the next one. Didn't he work with Alan Reynolds, too?
I don't believe Kenny did. I know that he was with Larry Butler in the beginning.
What did you sing with Kenny Rogers?
I didn't.
You know, never live?
I never. No, we've never. I don't remember singing with Kenny. I just might be forgetting.
Who is there out there?
I toured with Kenny.
Yes, I knew that. I thought maybe you sang with him on stage or something.
No, we never did. Oh. Eddie Rabbit.
Oh, how neat. He sure was a nice guy.
Yeah, great guy. We did a song called You and I.
Uh-huh.
And we would tour and be able to do that song together.
Eddie Rabbit seemed to have fun on stage and with his music.
Oh, a great writer.
Yeah.
Great songwriter. Even though he didn't write You and I, it was Frank Myers. And mm-hmm. That was his first song he brought to Nashville.
Who else have you sung with over the years?
Gary Morris. Paul Williams.
Oh, Paul. For those that don't know, Paul Williams is the short songwriter that was, he's done 35 films. He was even in, I think, 3 different Planet of the Apes as one of the short little monkeys. Paul wrote We've Only Just Begun. He wrote a bunch of country hits, a lot of Muppet music. And I remember him telling me, I love to go to Ireland, but I hate that part where they keep picking me up and shaking me, saying, where's the gold? He's a wonderful performer. What did you sing with Paul?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. We actually were doing something for some TV show.
Oh.
And but Paul also came and did some, I was doing, at that time it was a lot of videos, it was for Cinemax, mm-hmm. And it was like from one of my albums, and he came and was a part of all that. He was my
Is this show that you can remember about being, say, most excited about heading to? Oh, I can't wait to get to and to do that. I wish I could tell my mom, or I wish that so-and-so was there. I mean, I'm looking for, you know, not Carnegie Hall necessarily, but something like that.
I would say one of my favorite, all-time favorite places that I was booked was Red Rocks.
Ah, Denver.
Colorado.
Morrison, Colorado, Denver.
Oh, gorgeous place. But, you know, I got there and it rained. It was raining. Oh, no. Cats and dogs. It was just so bad. And I thought we were not going to be able to go on, but nobody left. I mean,
right.
It's pouring. And I said, hey, if they're not leaving, I'm going to go out there and sing. So we put a little tarp and nothing electric. It was all acoustic.
Oh, wow.
And put the tarp and every little bit we would move away and empty the tarp because it would start to sag a little. But that was a magical night.
Yes, I think it's the country rough background that might have helped you get through that. I mean, I bet you've played a few flatbed trucks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've played in caves. Hey, if you've been in this business, you know, and you start out, and, you know, I played a lot of the clubs that, you know, I'd used their band. That would play at the clubs. You'd go in and talk down your songs, and you didn't really rehearse. And I always said I could sing any of these songs. I would change the melody to go with the tune they were playing.
Hmm.
If they went to another note that I wasn't going to go to, I'd follow them, and I'd make it work.
You're a quick study. What is your favorite recording that you... I have a couple. Like, I like to think about a couple of certain Flat and Scruggs songs that I can still go back to and get excited about. Lightning Strikes Again by Lou Christie is the first record I ever bought. I couldn't believe that song, the sounds it had in it. The Beatles Yesterday was a very moving song. When I heard Turn, Turn on the radio, I pulled over. I didn't go to college that day. I went to the beach. Were there any particular songs that motivated you in that way over those early years?
Definitely. You're talking about the Beatles. I mean, their music, you know, that it took over everybody.
Yeah.
And you would sing. You'd know all these songs. I mean, you'd sing right along. But, Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Ah,
I mean,
I had
just
no idea.
Love their music. Of course, Bob Dylan, you know. And
so you like, what did you like about Dylan? Because you were...
Well, I just love the folk songs. I love the way he would write, and I loved his voice. You know, I still love it. You know,
I do, too.
It's there was something that grabbed me with his music.
You remember the record, We Are the World?
Mm-hmm.
When he came in with his verse, oh, man, it was so cool. And you, too. You know, it's whatever it was, I can't do it. It was just like, yes, Bob, now we're talking.
Back to reality.
Is there somebody that you'd like to record with? Or have you recorded with all the people you'd like to?
John, we've got to do some recording together.
Well, I got my banjo in the car.
Okay, let's get it down.
And I have a couple CDs, too, in case you're looking for one of them.
Okay.
I appreciate that. And now I've got it as a matter of record. But is there somebody that you'd like to record with in particular? A male, female musician, maybe?
Like, you know, there's so many. I mean, I could, you know, George Strait, as far as country. I mean, I love Alan Jackson. I love, you know, you think about it, there's, I love singing, and when a singer, they touch you, you know, you want to record with. And, of course, you know, I'd love to record with my sister, but can't get her in the studio through the years. We've talked about it. But, you know, it's something that maybe certain people would think, oh, she won't do it, and maybe they would ask me, and... But I love it.
Do you realize, Crystal, that one guy's opinion right here, that you could call almost anyone and they would say, really? You want to sing with me? I think that the field is pretty wide open, that you could find a wide range of people that know your voice, a wide range of people that know your voice in a way that you may not realize, because... Just like you comment about, I love the Beatles and I love this, I don't think people expect that. You, Crystal Gayle, and Bob Dylan, not that you should sing together, but there's people that hear your voice that, like, I always wish you would have recorded with John Denver.
Oh.
You know, that kind of thing. And I know, yeah. I knew Denver, I knew him before he was John Denver, he was John Duchendorf, and I think I could make a pretty good guess that he would have said, yeah, let's record.
Yeah, I think our voices would have sounded good together.
Yeah, the timbre of the two. But there's somebody else out there. And I'm trying to plant a little seed here in public about maybe Crystal will call Paul McCartney and sing something with him.
I would if I thought he would do it.
I think he would. I think he'd listen. I think if the material was good, he would feel honored. Or should.
Well, I love his writing, too.
So is there maybe somebody... in that broader field that you respect outside of... You mentioned Alan Jackson and country people, but...
Oh, Elton John. I mean, Elton has a great voice that I've always loved listening to the...
Music. It's funny you say that, because one of the people I wish you'd record with, to get a little... This may seem weird, but is Leon Russell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a totally little... His piano is just so identifiable... And his voice is... My mother was a huge Leon Russell fan.
Well, I'm a fan, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Leon's been a lifelong friend. And in fact, he came into a club we were rehearsing in 1966 and said, would you all like to sign to Liberty Records? He just finished doing This Diamond Ring. It was on the radio. He wasn't the Leon Russell yet. He was just the Leon Russell. And since then, he's been a friend. My mother called me once from the Long Beach Arena. Oh, Johnny, I just love Leon's voice and his piano, and there's 8,000 people here. And you know how smoking bothers me? Everybody's smoking. It doesn't bother me at all. And I'm really hungry.
That's funny.
My poor mom. Ma, mom.
Yeah, mom was
go
good.
Go to Denny's and start eating right now and get home.
Drive carefully.
How did you deal with the fact, I've always thought of Crystal as a fairly, if you don't mind me getting into a question about that, you don't seem to be the kind that was getting hooked on drugs and are getting into it in a way that was going to affect your wonderful instrument, your voice.
I never did. And I guess I could back up and say that and when you have one and you can't take it, you don't do it anymore.
I never got involved in drugs. I made people upset by, you know, somebody put out, hey, you want to do some toot with us? For those that don't know, toot was a code name for cocaine. And people, in the 70s, they thought it was legal, it seemed like.
Oh.
And I'd say, no, but I love it when you do it. Oh, why is that? Because it cuts down to competition. And it really did.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those people that did that, offered that, are dead, and then the ones that did got away from it. And so were you an anomaly going through this world? Not that I'm not making an opinion here, but country music was more pill-oriented.
It was more pill.
And the hippie music was more smoke-oriented.
I knew that, I wasn't into any of that. I didn't like it. I didn't, Loretta gave me a nerve pill once, and it knocked me out. I didn't like that, So I just didn't want anything. I didn't want to try this, and I'd see people around. I had band members that was high on cocaine, and I never knew it. At the time, I was sort of naive, and then later I'd say, oh, that's why they were acting that way.
That's the way you're saying, you got a dollar? Where you been? Where I want to go to a movie. Have you ever been bowling? Did you vote yet?
Or they're arguing back and forth, and you're like, what's wrong with them?
And they can't remember what the argument was about. Well, you plowed right through, and you would make your albums over the years. Was there an average time that it took to make a Crystal Gayle album?
You know, we would allow the 2 weeks come in, record from our working, to do vocals and the tracks. Of course, that wasn't the mixing. But we knew what we wanted.
Excuse me while I choke. 2 weeks.
Well, we'd record, and then maybe if I wanted to redo some singing, we'd do that. And then this is with Alan, and Alan would,
of course, post-production. Post-production. But for you to say 2 weeks to record, then they mix. Well, sure, mixing is a different thing.
And we could do it. You give us a week and we probably do it a week.
Maybe that's why the records were so darn good. And
we knew what we were doing. We'd go in there, and Alan, Alan was fantastic, Alan mm-hmm. Reynolds. And he was great with songs, great songwriter. He wrote my songs, Wrong Road Again, Somebody Loves You.
Mm-hmm, I didn't know that.
Ready for the Times to Get Better.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song.
That's in a minor key, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love minors.
You are so hot in minors. I love that.
I love minors.
And minors like you, too. Coal, gold, whatever. I've been around and in a band where it's like, what are we doing this week? Well, on Thursday, we're going to do the bass over, and I'm coming back on Tuesday to redo the snare. And I just hate that kind of recording. It's like, wait a minute. And now I'm not belittling the Dirt Band. We learned a lesson on that type of recording.
It cost a lot of money.
Bojangles with one take. Listen to your history. And we love to play that song, and I'm glad to hear you liked Brown Eyes Blue the same way. Is there one particular song that you really believed in that didn't make it?
Oh, probably more than one.
Pardon?
Probably more than one song that knowing the business, certain if the record company decided not to work it, and it wasn't going to make number one,
mm-hmm.
They could, I would hear executives, different companies talking, well, okay, we're going to kill this one and add that one. And they're with the radio people,
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
This one's only going to get to six on a good day, so let's get rid of it now.
Start playing the other one. So, they could make more hits if they wanted, but there was all this interplay underneath. But as far as a particular song, a song that always, I keep thinking it was number one was When I Dream. I think it was number two. That's close enough, I guess. But
well, for the Dirt Band, Dance Little Dream is a song that gets more requests, more response, and it, on the country charts, it only made it to number 8. And there were forgettable number 1 songs. You know, we play them through, and at the end, well, let's do Dance Little Jean, and people go crazy in the front. And the thing that I hate, Crystal, is one time we did a show with Three Dog Night at the Capitol Center in D.C., and every song they did got thunderous applause when it started, and none at the end. Absolute silence. So they'd go back, they'd start, one is a look. You know, and you don't have those kind of songs. People hear you deliver your songs both in a lyric that you care for and a melody and that is just killed by the singer. Are there times when you feel like a certain lyric reaches you in a way that it affects you on stage? Are you performing the song because you know it? Are you getting... Do you know what I mean? It's a...
You can put yourself into a different way.
Mm-hmm.
When you're singing it, you're somewhere else, feeling like you've sung it before. If that makes sense.
You're singing in the third person?
Yes,
maybe,
it's like, okay, if I was alive at another time, I would have been singing this song. And maybe it's an old song, maybe a Billie Holiday song that I love singing. I loved her.
Oh, yeah.
The music that I almost felt like maybe I'm there. I'm singing that with her.
Are you ever surprised that you became what you were emulating? Maybe you weren't emulating it, but you wanted to be a singer. And at some point in time, you became a standard of what is good.
I never really thought about it. I just love singing. And I would go out there and sing, and
maybe you weren't emulating anybody. You were just being a singer.
Being a singer.
Like, to me, the Riders in the Sky, they were kind of first few years, they're just, oh, yeah, we're like the Sons of the Pioneers. Well, they've become the Riders. They became what they were emulating, basically.
I know, love them.
And they're really good at it.
They are. Well, you know, you're out there, you know, like now, I mean, it's home. Stage is home. It's another home. You can be on stage and you feel comfortable. People know your music. They're having fun. We like to be real. You know, I never could be that person who would act like they could play the banjo like you do, you know. No. You know, and they would have someone else playing it behind stage or going around from one instrument. That was not me. I wanted to be real. And I can play a little piano, a little guitar. I just wanted people to see me as a real person and not somebody made up. And I would get people from record companies from all over, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And I'm thinking, man, that's not me. I don't want to lie to the public.
Uh-huh. The success is evidenced by that integrity. Does that make sense? You've got a great studio. You've got a great family. You have a wonderful career that you like. Did Chris go on your son I'm talking about? He's a great engineer.
Chris, as a child, would play the violin, and he came out in Christmas shows and did, you know, different songs, a Rocky Top, you know. But he put that down for football.
Uh-huh.
Now he's back into it.
And he likes being an engineer.
He loves it. He's writing songs and doing his own producing. He says he's looking for a really good vocalist to sing his songs. So do them yourself now. He does good.
Did he go on the road with you in those? Did you have trouble with school? Like with Jonathan, my middle son, I would take him out of school and they would argue and he'd say, but I just sang with Vince Gill and Doug Kershaw and I know I'm only 14, but it was a better learning experience.
Yes.
Than looking at a geography map. I drove over the map on the way there. Did you have trouble with the school side?
No, we didn't have trouble. In the sense that we really, I had him travel in the summer and on vacation time that I was working. And, I would let him pick and choose, too. If he wanted to do it, fine. If he didn't. We have pictures of him on stage, that little boy. They're cute.
Chris,
we're probably embarrassing him.
I'll find out pretty soon. Is there a song? Let me put it this way. I was having dinner with... Oh, this really sounds like show. I was having dinner with Vince Gill and Amy Grant one night. He picked up the check. I put Dolly and Vince together on the Steve Martin album, singing a song that Steve wrote called Pretty Flowers, an album that I produced called The Crow. That at the dinner after the session, I was asking Vince and talking to Amy, saying, so what's it like for current airplay now? And new stuff. And Vince just said, you know, there is none. I put out a new album, and I think maybe there's three or four stations that play it. And I think it's nice that they play the recurrent and the classic and the classic. And Sundays, I hear me a lot, you know. And the, what how does that affect you, Crystal?
I'm used to it now. In the beginning, when radio was changing, mm-hmm. and they, you know, they're going to stop playing you at some point, and it does bother you, and. But then you realize, hey, I'm still working. It's not that my career is over.
Right.
It's just that, I guess I've had over 18 number one, so I guess that's, I'll take more, you know. But, you realize it, as an artist, it does take a little bit of getting used to that, of not playing, but they don't play anybody. And, I mean, nowadays, I was reading about not the recent Reba album, but the one before that, I believe, where they would buy time to play the song at night so it could get at it at some point. There's all these ways of getting around. And
it's by 3 minutes, what she means is buying 3 minutes of airtime, like you just bought three commercials,
mm-hmm.
and that can be very expensive, folks. On a major station, it can run you $300 a minute, easy, secondary even.
Or hearing someone paying $250,000 to even get it played, you know, mm-hmm. with just working the song, and that's like, wow, what happened to just people enjoying music? And it's all a big business.
Yeah, but it always has been.
I know.
I think, and you have something to attribute. One of the things that I've always believed part of your success can be attributed to is your manager. Would you mind talking about him?
You mean my husband?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I managed him. Bill Gutsimus, yes. We've kept it in the family, I guess.
A Vanderbilt law student?
Vanderbilt Law. He's a lawyer.
How did that come about? Did you just you're walking around Nashville and you go, I need a new manager. Let me go look around Vanderbilt. That's a good-looking law student.
Well, you know, Bill and I met in the last year of high school.
Oh.
In Wabash, Indiana. The Wabash High School.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to IU, Indiana University, 4 years. Then we married when he was going there.
Mm-hmm.
So we lived in Bloomington for a while. And then after college, made the big move to Nashville.
At what point did the husband say, because in country music, it's usually the wife that manages the guy.
Yeah.
At what point, did that come about?
I did have managers in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, this was the other thing. You know, I was still that shy girl from the hills of Kentucky that, you know, wanting me to do things and treating people not the way I would treat them. I like people to be treated honest. To be honest with other people and, mm-hmm. and open, and it just didn't seem to work. So I said, you know, I don't want a manager. And then and Bill took over from there. And it was, you know, he knew me. And, you know, of course, I've probably turned down a lot of money, a lot of different things through the years because I didn't believe in the product they wanted me to do the commercial for. I wasn't going to be dishonest to people. As you know, when you see half of the commercials, these people don't use that. But it's, you know, it's out there.
Can you think of one that you turned down?
Well, it was fast food chain, for sure. I wasn't into that at then. Hair commercials, yes. It was going to be something that I used uh-huh. and liked. I wasn't just going to...
I am really surprised that Mr. Gutsimus didn't negotiate some kind of popcorn endorsement for you.
Oh, we should have.
What is your favorite road food?
Popcorn, definitely. Oh, he's had to go out after concerts. He'd go scour the movie theaters and see if they'd sell him a box of popcorn. many nights.
I remember riding on a bus with you. A little footnote here. I probably did 35, 40 shows with Crystal Gayle before she fired me, and being the opening act. As they say in country music, we had to let him go.
We didn't let you go.
No, I know. I'm just being facetious. But I do remember that bus ride. You had a popcorn bag that I swear was almost as tall as you. And by the end of the bus ride, it was gone. And you weren't any bigger.
Well, you know, the theaters, after the show, they would package up all the remainder of the popcorn that was in the machines. And sometimes I'd have this huge garbage bag. Going down the road eating my popcorn. Maybe sharing. I don't know.
I have a very important question. Plain or buttered?
Plain.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, you can have if you do the microwave popcorn, I will put a little butter on it, and you know, so the salt will stick.
Do you have a favorite? Paul Newman, Orville Redenbacher?
Actually, I like the blue corn, which is a very small kernel.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when it pops, it's a smaller type of popcorn.
Is that what you make it? Do you make it at home?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I've got to go turn the microwave off right now.
It was something that I actually would carry the hot air popcorn poppers in my suitcase. I'd have a suitcase for it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I would take it all over. And I remember once we were in Australia, and Larry Swartz, who was my sound guy, that I'm just incredible guy, he changed the end of the cord for me so I could use it in the room because it's different.
Different power.
Different power. So he switched that out for me. That's sweet.
It must be in the writer. Well, Crystal, this is Crystal Gayle, and I'm John McEwen. We're on the Americana Music Show on syndicatednews.net. And it's just wonderful letting some people get to know a little bit about your background and stuff. One of the first songs you sang publicly, I was curious about. One that I know your mother taught you would be Barbara Allen.
Yes, Barbara Allen.
At what age did you learn this song that has like lots of verses?
It's a lot of verses. My mother, you know, she would sing all these songs like Pretty Polly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these great folk. That's why I love folk music. I think of listening to my mother's voice, and I loved her sound. That, you know, Barbara Allen definitely was just one of those special ones.
Was it a cappella when she would sing?
Oh, yes. It was always a cappella. I mean, she did play a little banjo.
Hmm.
I mean, she might have been pretty good at it at some point. She sang with her twin sister in Kentucky. They'd sing at churches and different socials. And, you know, I loved her voice, and I loved, she would teach the songs. What was it? Come All You Fair, Tenderhearted Ladies.
The Fair and Tender Ladies.
Yeah, I love that. And I've got her singing.
Take warning
that.
How you court your man.
Yeah, I have a verse. I better have it still somewhere.
Oh, have you ever recorded that?
No.
Oh, my gosh, that's perfect for you.
And I, you know, when I listen to some different singers sing it, the melody sometimes changes. And I don't know whether I changed it myself or taken it from my mother, but my melody is a tiny bit different. You know, but they, you know, all those songs were handed down. So they did change, I'm sure, throughout.
Crystal, you know what I'm thinking right now. Your mother's saying a cappella, and you're talking about a favorite song.
Mm.
I don't have to, but what would it sound like if it was your mother here right now, or if you were singing it a cappella? Am I out of line now? Saying, can you sing a verse of it?
Come all ye fair, tender-hearted ladies, be careful how you court your men. They're like a storm on a warm summer morning. They're first with you, and then they're gone.
Wow, thank you. Yeah, I remember, I think Stanley Brothers did that.
I love that song.
Well, bluegrass people picked it up, too.
But I think I do it a little bit different, you know, whether I've changed.
You had a blues note in there that maybe
I don't know. You know, I just, you know, I tend to, through the years, learning songs, and to be something, I go in and I'd be changing just a little bit, and you know, that, oh no, I can't do that. I mean, that's the way they wrote it, like this. But for somehow, my singing, my hearing of it, I just wanted to have it flow a little differently, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I love those songs.
Well, where do you see Crystal Gayle heading with her music in the future so people know what to look for? Is there a current project, a current book, anything?
I keep wondering about a book, but I might do a different type of book. I don't know.
Instead of a talking book, a singing book?
Yeah, singing book.
Have you done children's projects?
I have definitely have done children's projects, you know, through the years. You know, I was on Sesame Street, Muppets. Mm-hmm. I have a lullaby, children's lullaby album that I did. And I love those songs. You know, it's special to be able to do that. My projects, you know, definitely I keep saying I'm going to do the folk album.
Mm-hmm.
I am working on a project that is a little more acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just I've got a few things going and I've got a few things recorded. And it's like, okay, finish this one now.
Mm-hmm. Is it harder to finish things in the last 5 years than it was in the first five?
Oh, definitely.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe it's just, I don't know why. I'm not going to go in today. I'm going to do this. No, I don't want to record that day. Certain things, and as a bumper sticker said, been there, done that, and don't remember a thing.
Well, where can you find Crystal Gale on the net nowadays?
As far as buying music or
no
just...
fishing? No, I mean, on the internet.
On the internet. Oh, yeah. Well, I have a crystalgale.com. Of course, I'm on Facebook, and my son is going to put some music, new music, on different sites that are out there now. He has it all down. You know, I can turn the computer on. I know how to go to certain stores, and I know how to buy things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the extent of my...
That's way ahead of my mother when she was still with us. I was trying to... I mean, she couldn't do two things in a row, and it's okay because... Yeah, you're way ahead of some people that can't get near a computer.
Well, now, you know, I have one at home that my son wants me to throw in the trash because it's just way too slow for him.
Oh.
So, but I'm used to it. You know, I'll go and get a cup of coffee.
Oh. That's why I have AT&T as a cell phone. I like the fact that it drops out and won't work in a lot of places. I don't need to be called right when I'm getting on a bus. You know, and all that kind of stuff. Oh, I can't hear you. Okay, I'll call in a couple hours, thank heavens, you know.
Yeah, I wonder why they have a lot of dropouts. I just cannot understand that.
are you
don't have that, but other people I've heard.
Well, in today's world, well, I guess, do you find the audiences, you do a lot of what we call corporate shows. Do you like doing those, or do you like hard ticket shows?
Well, you know, I think years ago did a lot of corporate. Mm-hmm. And as you realize, that's not your normal fan out there because they're gathered, so they're a set audience. It's mm-hmm. not like, okay. And it took me a little while to figure out the corporate setting. And I just, you know, there's so many good ones out there. But, you know, when you know that's a hard ticket, you know, they know your music, they're coming to hear you, and it's a total different... Todd, we do a lot of casinos, definitely the Indian casinos. We love those. I'm Cherokee, you know.
Ah.
So if I go on the warpath, you know why?
I always thought if Jim Morrison was still alive and the Doors were together, they'd be playing the finest Indian casinos
yes,
in the country.
That's right. And there's some great ones out there. And
there
they treat you great, too. You know, that's.
I bet you played Prairie Nights.
Probably.
I think.
Oh no! The radio.
No, it's a casino, North Dakota, I think. But yeah, I've seen your name
well,
in some of the hallways that we walked down.
Okay, I did. well, we've been all over.
Crystal Gale is still at it after I'm not going to say how many years.
Only a couple. That's all we've been out here.
And she does have an incredible backstory, some of which we've covered. And a definite love of music and that you people have heard over the years. And Crystal, I know this is probably something you get tired of hearing, but I was curious. Did you mind the name change at any point in time when Loretta said what she said?
When I had to change it because of Brenda Lee,
mm-hmm.
actually. Brenda Lee was on Decca.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I had to change it. And... Yeah, it didn't bother me at first.
Yeah. Brenda Lee, Brenda Lynn is what we're talking about.
Right? I would have been Brenda Gale. Ah. Gale's my middle name. Hmm. And then Loretta thought of Crystal. And, you know, I didn't really care what they called me at that time because I could record.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to be out there. But it was almost like a little later I thought, you know, I'd like to go back to my real name. And on one time I put my name G-A-I-L, which is the original mm-hmm. spelling. And then it was like a slap in the face. And you can't change your name now. You're Crystal Gale. That's
oh,
what
man.
People know you.
The list is long. I'm in a band that made that mistake. I didn't vote for it. But John Hartford. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chet Atkins told him he should put, you know, you should put a T in that name, not Harford. Oh, his real name was John Hartford. People won't remember it as Hartford. They'll spell it wrong. Make it Hartford, and they will.
Oh, yeah. You know,
Little River Band, as soon as they went to LRB, which everybody called them, hey, LRB, you know, the next album is, well, who's LRB? It couldn't get filed in the record stores. They didn't know where to put it. The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band went to The Dirt Band for a few years. 2.5. One time we were getting on a plane in 1979, and the stewardess sees this line of musicians that all look like they're, you guys in a band? And one of the guys goes, yeah, the Dirt Band. I used to like a group called the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. You anything like them? The name changed back that night.
That's great.
You know, 13 years of marketing. Out the window? Why? Mm-hmm. And so you made a good choice to stay with Crystal Gale. It's a pretty word that fits your wonderful music.
As Loretta said, it's a bright and shiny name, and that's what you are. I said, well, thank you, Loretta.
Even though the source of the inspiration of that word was?
Crystal Hamburgers.
Oh,
they're good.
I remember going to do it on a road trip. No food. Oh, pull over, there's a Crystal. And you pull in there, and there's a bunch of cheeseburgers on there, and it's 4 in the afternoon, and Jeff goes, are those fresh? Well, yeah, we just made them this morning.
That was fresh.
Middle of nowhere, yeah. Well, Crystal Gale and her wonderful music can be found on crystalgale.com. This is John McEwen visiting with Crystal on the Americana Music Show. And anything you want to add? Any causes, any particular things you'd like to point people towards?
You know that, no, we're just having fun out there. And yeah, I still am on the road. And when the time comes and I say I don't want to work anymore, I'll do that. But I still enjoy it. I just have loved making the friends that I've made through the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still making wonderful friends.
You know, I've got friends I haven't even used yet. But now that I've used you, we better go.
I'm going to use you then.
Thank you for visiting, Crystal.
Thank
3 o'clock in the morning, and it looks like it's going to be another sleepless night. I've been listening to your dreams and getting very low, wondering what I can do. Maybe I'm being foolish, 'cause I haven't heard you mention anybody's name at all. How I wish I could be sure it's me that turned you on. Each time you close your eyes, I've heard it said that dreamers never lie. You've been talking in your sleep, sleeping in your dreams, with some sweet lover. On your mind. Maybe I'm being foolish, 'cause I haven't heard you mention anybody's name at all. How I wish I could be sure it's me that turned you on. Each time you close close your eyes. I've heard it said that dreams never lie. You've been talking in your sleep, sleeping in your dream, with some sweet lover. On your mind, you've been talking in your sleep.